Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go.
610, welcome to the show. What show is it, Steve?
Well,
it appears it's show number 993, but we'll have to check with the accounting firm.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Chuck Tolliver on this morning, Pat Brady in studio. Happy New Year to any and all of my Jewish friends.
Yes.
And that is why Eric Edelstein will not be here today. He is in Temple. We should have done the show from Temple today.
Oh, is it? Can we do that?
No. Puerto Rico is without power from one end to the other, 100% without power. We will talk to somebody from there. And are they going to be on the ground there? Or are they from there and they're here? Our Puerto Rican connection. Here comes Sandberg now with a live report just in from San Juan.
Jim Ryan is going to be from Dallas, and right. Then Victor will be in, he's in Puerto Rico.
He's in Puerto Rico, okay. Yes. Thank you for that. Dean Richards later, and John Weideman will tell us how the Hawks preseason has gone so far and preview the opener, which is only a couple weeks away. Jen Weigel later will do our Wang Dang Doodle picks. And Carla Bruni's going to be on.
Yeah, your friend. She missed you.
I like Carla Bruni.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carla
not,
Bruni.
Not that one. The other one.
Who are we talking about?
The French prime. The French. Remember the former wife of the
She's
French
the former first lady of
yeah,
France.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, we got along fine, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was. That's like that little underlying, you
sexual
know.
Sexual tension?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. But she is a, she's an artist.
Yes, she is.
A musician.
She fixes things.
Performer, model.
All of the above.
Right. And now she is a societal change maker.
Yes, absolutely.
So Carla Bruni will be on later. Anyway, that's all on the program today, and who knows what else might develop. So at 6:12, why don't we do the top six at six.
Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, if you're so inclined to pray, and I hope you are, there's a 12-year-old girl who is trapped in the rubble in Mexico City who has been communicating in some form with rescuers. Over the past 12 to 18 hours, there are at least a couple of other kids trapped near her. It's unknown how many other bodies might be in the rubble of that particular school, where we know that 20 or so kids have already died and at least three or four teachers. All of that going on in Mexico at this time. If you watched any news coverage yesterday, I'm sure you saw the pictures of fists raised, signaling quiet to the crowd as they tried to hear and communicate with this this young girl who appears to be trapped by some sort of granite table that fell on her and was pressed against her and is not allowing her to move. Imagine that nightmare. This earthquake happened days ago. And I assume she's in and out of consciousness and all of the associated things that would go with this scenario. So they are trying by hand to move as much as they can and then fashion some sort of tunnel to get to her, because the more you move stuff above her, the more likely you are to have something fall on her. So it's unbelievable. It's 24/7 and it continues in Mexico while the rain continues. It's now a Category 3 storm. It's expected to pass north of the Dominican Republic today. The storm slammed Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands to shift to hurricane talk here for a second, if I could. Like I said, we'll talk to somebody from Puerto Rico later and also get the ABC perspective. The entire island is out of power now.
And they say it could be that way for 6 months, 4 to 6 months. 4 months, best case, they're back up, 6 months or longer.
So they're just going to fly in thousands of generators? I mean, what else could they do?
I don't know what.
And then you
got to
get gasoline.
As you say,
power the generators.
3.5 million people. That's like the entire city of Chicago being without power for 6 months.
They have to rebuild the grid, supposedly, the power plant, the main power plant there. I don't imagine there's too many more than one main power plant in Puerto Rico. It was essentially destroyed by the storm. So the volunteers continue to dig in Mexico. The volunteers and the citizens continue to dig out and pump out of the problems they're having in the hurricane-ravaged Houston and Florida and now all of the island chain that is the Caribbean. You know, it's another thing to be glad you're here and not there. That's items 1, 2, and 3. Next. Paul Manafort offered private briefings on the 26th campaign. This is so ridiculous. You know what I say? I don't make things up. I do. But in this case, I'm not.
No.
A Russian oligarch with strong ties to the Kremlin and believed ties to Russian mob figures, if he's not one himself. And keep on, an oligarch is a billionaire. The Russian oligarch who has been desperate to get to the United States but has not been able to secure a visa. He was offered private briefings on the 26th campaign by Paul Manafort.
2 weeks before Donald Trump accepted the Republican presidential nomination.
Yeah. Said, hey, listen, Sergey. Hey, Vlad. Hey, you. If you need private briefings, we can accommodate. Those are his words. We can accommodate. All right. So let me ask a basic question.
Yeah. I got a question, too.
Why would you need to do this? You're the chairman of the campaign of the Republican nominee at that point. Why would this be something you would need to do? I'm giving you all the benefit of the doubt in the world. Biggest Trump supporter in the world. Explain to me, why would this be something that Paul Manafort needed to do?
And isn't it illegal for any of these people to be donating to an American campaign? So they're not giving money, so why are you doing it? Allegedly, you're not giving money.
Well, it's completely non-constitutional. I mean, the Constitution specifically speaks to not allowing foreign powers to infiltrate the American government.
Right.
So I would like anyone, including you six texters, the super six who get up every morning and start texting your hate. Why would Paul Manafort have any reason to communicate with and offer a private briefing to a Russian oligarch with direct ties to the Kremlin? Why?
Unless,
you got a reason? I'd love to know.
All right, this is a huge stab in the dark. Well, he's going to deny. Unless there's some sort of a... If it's strictly from a business perspective.
What business?
No, I don't know. That's all I got. I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit, but...
Because there are sanctions, too, so you can't really do business with them either.
Yeah. No, you're not. You can't, you know, and Trump has said over and over again, I have no business connections.
Maybe they were in a real serious game.
Nobody in my campaign, as far as I know, has any business connections.
Maybe they were in a super serious game of words with friends.
Well, makes more sense than any other explanation that I've heard.
I got nothing.
So text lines are open. I'd love to hear your answer. Why would Paul Manafort have any reason to offer a private campaign briefing to the Russians? By the way, some of the other emails are pretty revealing as well, including Manafort's desperate need for cash.
Yes.
And using the campaign to leverage that cash problem that he had. Yesterday with Nicole Wallace on MSNBC, and we'll talk to Chuck Todd here in a few minutes, the former chief of staff at the CIA, and I believe the FBI as well, said, oh, by the way, Nicole, it's very possible the Russians installed Paul Manafort in the campaign. The Russians supplied him to the campaign. Paul Manafort, with money problems, agreed to be Donald Trump's campaign chairman, ready, for free. Mm-hmm. Why would Paul Manafort do that?
I don't know.
Again, I'm looking for your answers, Super 6. 312-981-7200. Is the texter line.
Unless he thought he could do what he wanted, Donald Trump would get elected and he would get a full pardon or full reprieve.
You were better off with Words with Friends.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Facebook Friends was my other thing.
We'll next. Illinois submitted a big Obamacare rate increase to the feds. Trump, meanwhile, says the Republican health care bill is still a few votes short as the deadline looms. They're all a few eggs short of a dozen. This new bill, which Jimmy Kimmel has been completely correct about in his late night rants, is simply this. It's politicians trying to secure their power base by shoving this down our throats without the proper due course of order that John McCain spoke about earlier this year. In all likelihood, it won't get out of the Senate. If it does get out of the Senate, there's a great question of whether it would get out of the House. But Chuck Grassley, the Iowa senator, made a statement yesterday which was so blatantly honest and so completely nauseating. It's a summary of Washington politics, and I'll read it verbatim to you in a few seconds here. But the Obamacare argument continues. Obviously, it needs to be fixed. This ain't the answer. And this is Lindsey Graham and company trying to shove this down America's throats, and shame on them.
And nobody wins with this, too. As you said, in 13 counties in Illinois next year, only one insurer will offer individual plans. So everybody's rates will go up between 16 and 37%. If this goes through.
Do you think that at any point Republicans and Democrats ought to be working on fixing the parts of Obamacare that are broken instead of trying to eliminate Obamacare completely?
Well, they were
that
trying.
That might be a better answer.
They were trying, right? And then they announced that that bipartisan effort is over now.
There was no bill that directly dealt with the specific parts of Obamacare that are broken. All of it had political crossbreeding that led to this. And next. Last night's Yankee game halted because a little girl was hit by a foul ball. She was there with her grandfather in a line drive over the dugout and beyond the protective netting that lines the field. The little girl got hit in the face. She was taken out on a stretcher. It was Todd Frazier, wasn't it?
It was. Inside pitch, way out in front of it, ripped it right over the third base dugout.
Say what you will about modern athletes. You've probably never seen a collection of grown men tear up like this and kneel and pray as they did. As the little girl was stretchered out, we don't know her condition this morning, do we, Mark?
We do not. We know that she was taken to a hospital, and she may or may not need surgery.
Meanwhile, Todd Frazier and other players, because of the third incident just at Yankee Stadium this year, and it's up to the individual stadiums beyond a specific mandatory amount, how much netting they'll put up, the players themselves are saying, extend the netting, take it all the way down to the foul pole. And if you're going to sit up front, I would really... You know, it's really exciting if you get a chance to take your kid to a game. But I really have got to tell you, with the speed of the baseball and the bat and physics being what it is, do not sit with a kid in the first 20 rows at a major league ballpark.
Completely
don't do it.
Agree.
I don't know about sitting with an adult. I mean, that ball's coming at you at 105 miles.
And what happens? Right. Everybody's got their face buried in their phone half the time because of right. the pace of a baseball
or
game.
In their
You know, I was sitting at Wrigley Field a couple of years ago, and this happened. Hit a woman right in the head, a couple of feet away from me. So it's adults and kids.
If you sit behind the netting,
if you're an adult and you get hit in the head, I feel badly for you. I feel horrible for a child.
Yeah, I do.
Of course.
So obviously, adults take care of children by not putting them in the harm's way. By the way, I'm not blaming this grandfather. How was he supposed to know? Yeah. But just don't do it.
When the players bring their families, they always sit behind home plate.
CC Sabathia was asked about that yesterday. CC Sabathia yesterday said it's not even a thought. They sit behind the netting.
Yeah,
right.
They absolutely sit behind the netting. And finally this. Jay-Z turned down an offer to perform at the Super Bowl next February. Well, good for America, because 90% of America would have gone, what am I watching? Jay-Z is a very targeted act, and a very an act that's specific to people who love hip-hop, and I do. But Jay-Z wouldn't work for 90% of America. Who knows what the NFL was thinking there?
I was shocked.
Unless he brought Beyonce.
You were rolling in this morning, Steve. The windows were down, and Jay-Z was blaring. I was like,
you were bumping up and down.
Aggressive for 5:30.
Pimp your ride.
Okay, you guys can mock, but both of you are white. You don't know what you're talking about. Thought I'd play this for you guys, since obviously you two don't understand.
Get it. Not like you, of course. But...
Steve Cochran Show continues, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Let me go to Jim Ryan here. Jim Ryan from ABC News. And Jim can give us a sense of where we are with the story in Mexico. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, Mexico, of course, dealing with the big earthquake at the same time that off in the Caribbean, Puerto Rico is dealing with the...
I'm sorry, I said Mexico. Puerto Rico is where we're going with this piece of the story. I was so wrapped up in my hip-hop that I jumped to the wrong part of the world. You know what? I'll be honest with you. We have so many horrible disasters going on now. We got to remember which one we're talking about. We're talking about Puerto Rico now.
There have been times, Steve, that somebody's asked me about something that I was kind of familiar with. I just talked for about 5 or 6 minutes about it and got off the phone.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you tried to cover for me. But no, Puerto Rico, that's the focus for this segment.
Exactly, and right. And you know, most of the country, in fact, the governor of Puerto Rico says that all of the country is without electricity right now. Not surprising, considering the direct hit that the island took yesterday, that the storm moved from the southeast to the northwest, right across the center of the country. Miraculously, in this whole thing, Steve, we're told that no fatalities have been counted yet. But that was the case with Irma, as was the case with Katrina and Harvey, and almost every major storm. The majority of the fatalities happen after the storm has already gone away or been downgraded, and that may be what happens here. So it's still worth watching there.
So there's talk this morning, and, you know, we speak in absolutes early on in these disasters until we understand a little bit better where we're headed. I think we're all stunned and amazed and maybe thrilled and delighted that Houston has recovered from 51 inches of rain somehow in a relatively short period of time. Now, not all back together, but it's amazing that we're not talking about a city still underwater. Here, we're talking about the power being out for up to 6 months. That doesn't mean the island's going to be dark for 6 months. But it means a major challenge in rebuilding their power grid, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, with Houston and with Florida, it's a matter of rallying utility crews from all over the country, getting them to down into those areas and start putting up poles and stringing lines. It's not such an easy task there in Puerto Rico. The infrastructure isn't great in the first place, and they're an island, for heaven's sake. So if you intend to escape that or evacuate, you have to leave the island altogether. Getting utility crews in means bringing them from somewhere else, you know, by plane or by truck, by ship, by something. So it's a difficult process, as you can understand. A country that is heavily dependent on tourism needs to get itself back in shape in order to welcome tourists again.
All of the Caribbean was slammed in the last month. The way this will affect tourism going into high seasons, fall and winter, I mean, it's incredible.
It is. You're right. And some of the islands obviously took a much harder hit than others. And the Florida Keys are dealing with the same thing. This has been a remarkable hurricane season. And forecasters warned us early on that it was going to be an above average year. And it has been. I mean, we're considering that they name these storms alphabetically. We're down to the L's and the M's. But at the same time, look back to 2005, Steve, when we had a Hurricane Wilma. We got down to the W's. So, and we've got a couple of months left in the hurricane season. So just watch out. There may be more to come.
We're finally getting pictures out of Dominica, small islands, what, 75,000 residents. But it looks like Barbuda. You know, they're talking about 90 to 95% of the buildings there being destroyed or damaged.
And they're still looking for survivors.
Right.
Exactly right. That's one that kind of slipped through that people, you know, have been unaware of at all. Nobody's ever heard of Dominica, is how it's pronounced. But and so anybody who's looking at the pictures now sees this and they're thinking, I don't even know where that is. But and there's just not much left of it right now.
It's Jim Ryan for ABC News. Appreciate the update. Appreciate the cover. And I'll call back and misfire soon.
Please do.
Right, thank you, sir. That's Jim. He's great. 6:31. All right, we'll pick up the politics end of the morning to kick off the politics hour here in a few minutes, where Bridget Gaynor will be on with us. And also, Congressman Raja is back on the program this morning because he's asking for legislation to make sure the president doesn't try to pardon his friends and pardon his way out of this Russia story. So Raja will be on to talk about that. That's all coming up. Big story in just a moment. Andrea will actually take on the Mexican earthquake without Jim Ryan's help. In just a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Did any advisor or anybody in the Trump campaign have any contact with the Russians who are trying to meddle in the election?
Oh, of course not.
I did not have communications with the Russians.
Are there any ties between Mr. Trump, you or your campaign, and Putin and his regime?
No, there are not. It's absurd. And, you know, there's no basis to it.
Every time Russia's brought up, they say, oh, Trump, what do I have to do with it?
They're all innocent. They're all innocent. Just ridiculous how we keep poking at these poor victims, Donald Trump and the Trump administration and everyone associated with it. At 6:42, the host of Meet the Press, longest running show on television, Kiss My Butt, Gunsmoke. Oh, you got to be over 55 to understand that reference. Chuck Todd joins us, MTP Daily as well. Terrific podcast. What's the podcast title, Chuck?
1947.
Which you ought to listen to as well. My 26-year-old son was hyping it to me the other day.
Hey, man, my assumption is the first time folks come across Meet the Press these days, the Gen Z or the millennials, maybe via the podcast, not the TV show. So.
Yeah, yeah, the world is...
It's a multi-platform life, right? Yeah.
The world, it is a change. There's a new... you can tell because it's got that new poll smell. We've got a brand new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll, which we'll get to in just a second. But first, this Paul Manafort thing. What possible reason, if I drop all my predispositions and give all benefit of the doubt, what possible reason could Paul Manafort have for offering a private briefing on the Trump campaign to a Russian oligarch?
Money. And he is somebody that is, you know, the big, to me, the most likely that if it's not part of the collusion, right? So let's say what's the most likely explanation, innocent explanation? That this is somebody he's done business for in the past and he's made a lot of money off of, and if that guy calls, he's got to come a run it. So, you know, it's either collusion or he's a financially kept man by this billionaire. Those are the two most logical explanations.
Is there any reason someone with Manafort's track record of, you know, being in dicey situations, and again, I'm being kind here, being in dicey situations and putting himself in a lot of harm's way, would have put this in writing? Do you get to a point where you're so cocky you think you're not going to get caught, or is this about not believing they were going to win?
I think that you do get comfortable. You know, he's been playing the foreign political consultant game for decades. The reason he wasn't much of a player in Washington is he went where there's real money to be made. It is so shady. I can't tell you how many political consultants, some of them who I consider, you know, usually have pretty sound judgment, who get totally irrational and do stupid things for foreign clients because there's so much money involved. You know, what normally is a $10,000 a month gig in America, these foreign oligarchs, when they buy political consultants, they pay them $100,000 a month. You know, so the exponential wealth factor there is huge. And these consultants, you know, you talk about our new poll smell, old cash. is a smell, old or new cash, is a smell that can make a political consultant come running. So, and Paul Manafort really was a huge part of that world. And he, you know, he'd been doing it for 20 years. You know, the last time he did domestic politics before Trump was Bob Dole in 96. In between, he went all foreign. He went all international. And, it, you know, that's why he's so vulnerable to being squeezed by Mueller. Whether or not he's involved in the collusion, he did some stuff that's illegal.
Okay, Chuck, if Manafort is somehow indicted, would he out Trump or protect him? And is there a scenario where the trail would end with him and not even reach Trump?
I don't. It's a great question because I don't know if Manafort has that kind of loyalty to the president. I don't believe he does. I think at the end of the day, he'll protect himself first. So I think that's what Mueller thinks. When I think about Manafort's ties to the president, they're much more tenuous than Roger Stone. Roger Stone, if you ask me that same question, I think it's possible he'd go to jail for Trump. I don't know if Manafort will.
The astoundingly ironic thing to me is the perfect storm that led to Donald Trump being elected could now be the perfect storm of stupid that leads to him going in the other direction. With this combination, this confluence of narcissists and shady characters and bad guys that have all made enough mistakes that it's like an old country buffet for Bob Mueller and this A-level attorney team that he's put together in Washington. What about the speed of this? We have a sense it's speeding up outside the Beltway. What's it like there?
It does feel like it a little bit. You get the sense inside the White House that those that feel that they're stuck having to get a lawyer are getting more nervous. You have the fact that there is a lawyer that represents the president's interest in this Russian probe that is now a White House staffer, this Ty Cobb gentleman. So the presence is always there. You know, everybody's always reminded of it. So, yes, I think there's an intensity that's starting to increase. And it does appear that Mueller is determined to try to make some progress by the end of the year. But I still think we're still months away and maybe even a year away before, you know, I think fall, summer of next year at the soonest.
Is that right?
Where we start seeing Mueller go to the, try to make some conclusion stages. That's my guess.
Talking with Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press, MTP Daily, and Chuck Todd on Ice coming soon. Because he just refuses to not keep working, and follow him on social media. The new NBC Wall Street Journal poll that's out says the public really liked the bipartisan Trump moves of the past couple weeks, but there's a button there, isn't there?
There is a but. They haven't liked anything else, you know, beyond, you know, but, and that's, you know, that's the conundrum for the president. The most popular thing he did was cut a deal with Schumer and Pelosi. It pleased folks on the left, and it pleased the Trump base. Another thing that we are starting to see in this poll, and second poll in a row, we're starting to see this pattern. There is a third party. There is the Democratic Party. There is the traditional Republican Party of Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. And then there's the Trump Party. And why do we say there's a – the big differences are, for instance, we asked this question. Did you vote for Trump? More because you like Trump or more because you didn't like Hillary Clinton. And so basically the way we split up the Republican Party is those that voted for Trump because they liked him, right? Had nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. That's your core Trump base versus your sort of core Republicans who voted Trump more because they were voting against Hillary Clinton. The deal with Pelosi and Schumer, people that voted Trump but were anti-Clinton, they didn't like the deal. But Trump voters liked the deal. And then you see this in other places. Mitch McConnell's personal rating is a net positive among non-Trump-loving Republicans. It's a net negative among Trump-loving Republicans. The point is that the president really has carved out his own base. And they don't like Mitch McConnell with almost as much fervor as Democrats.
And they're not so crazy about Paul Ryan either.
That's right, but McConnell is more seen right now as the head alligator in the swamp.
Right.
And this is why the president has this, I think, interesting why he's like, go for it on health care, but why he doesn't think he's risking anything. If it fails, blame Mitch McConnell. Alabama Senate race. He's going to go out there and help the McConnell's candidate, Luther Strange. If he wins, Trump gets all the credit. If he loses, Mitch McConnell. It's a fascinating opportunity the president has. If he chooses to take it, he did it once by cutting that deal with Schumer and Pelosi. But he can move 30% of the electorate any way he wants. They're that loyal to him. And the question is how often and how effective can he be in using that ability to triangulate Washington?
And that brings
if he
us
wants to play that game. He could be very, you know, he could get some things done.
And of course, the one thing that Congress is trying to get done immediately is the revisit of repealing or replacing Obamacare. Last night, Chuck Grassley comes out with a statement. Here's a guy that's been around Washington for a long time, been around the Senate for a long time, much like the president's tweet yesterday where he said, I'm supporting Big Luther because he was nice to me. I'm only partly paraphrasing there. Maybe this was accidental honesty, but Chuck Grassley said, you know, I could maybe give you 10 reasons why this bill shouldn't be considered. But Republicans campaigned on it so often, you have a responsibility to carry out what you said in the campaign. That's pretty much of a reason as the substance of the bill. That's a long-time, long-term senator from next door in Iowa saying the politics matters just as much as the policy. America, you got to wake up.
And look, to the voter, though he's not wrong. You know, to many voters, that is going to be the case, that the politics does matter as much as the policy. To other voters, the policy matters a whole lot more. You know, this is, guess what? It's what makes politics tricky business sometimes. But Chuck Grassley's statement also, to me, is a reminder why it's more likely than not that this effort fails. Because there's not a single part of the healthcare system that says this bill is a good thing. All right, and these are parts of the system that don't like Obamacare, that want to make some changes. But they don't want to repeal it. They want to make changes. They've never wanted to see it repealed. So when you don't have any industry support at all, coupled with it's unpopular with the public, and the best case you can make is a political case, not a policy case, you usually don't win those. So I think McCain sticks to his guns, and I think McCaskey sticks to her guns. So I don't think they, you know, I think they need one of the two. I don't think they get either of the two. I think they hold hands on this and stay. I don't think anybody wants to be the vote that gets it to pass.
It's Chuck Todd from Meet the Press, Sunday morning, of course, meet MTP Daily every afternoon. We'll obviously keep an eye on you so you can keep us informed on whether or not Mike Pence is measuring for drapes anytime soon. But in the meantime, I would urge you people to check out this new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll and go a little in depth with it, too, even though Chuck gave you a nice taste of it here. What were you going to say, Chuck?
Yeah, no, that's it, man. I wouldn't get too enthusiastic about Pence for president just yet.
Right.
I don't think it's a 2017 campaign just yet.
Right.
Maybe 2018, but not 2017.
Well, I mean, drapes take a long time. You might want to order early.
Hey, we should congratulate Chuck too. Didn't he finish second in our?
Oh yeah, he doesn't even know this. As our celebrity picker last week, you were second. Who won? Was that me or Enid?
I think it was you.
Yeah, I won, Chuck. Yeah. Sorry, tough break.
Wow. Meanwhile, Jay Cutler 1-0. How you feel about that, Bears fan?
Cutler's on fire. And I assume your mom came through last week okay?
We're all good.
All right.
It hit the parts of Florida I didn't have relatives with. So okay. I got lucky.
Yeah, for sure. All the best, man. Thank you as always.
You got it, guys.
See ya. That's Chuck Todd. Getting his workout in this morning and filling us in at the same time. He's a multitasker. Pat Brady's here, and Pat, you and I should thank the great Terry Hanley and everybody out at Cantini for hosting us yesterday and a fine, steamy afternoon of golf.
Yeah, great. Late-season golf, greens in great shape, great course.
Yeah,
all three
fun.
Courses. Yeah, it was
fun,
great.
Fun. Really. Now, and thank you for that, and go play Cantini, you knuckleheads. If you haven't lately, you're missing out. But Mark Carmen brought – can I bring up the story you just told on there?
Sure, Steve, that'd be great.
Because Pat's a dad as well, and I'm just going to try to give you some perspective here. Mark was staying with friends in New York, and they have a cute little three-year-old girl. And the shortcut of the story is when Mark was walking into the shower, the little girl walked in, as little three-year-olds will do, and she may or may not have seen Mark in the buff. So he didn't know if he should tell the parents. My opinion is, yes, tell them. They're going to find it cute, but my part B to that, which I didn't get a chance to say to you yet, is the three-year-old, you don't want the three-year-old going to the parents going, I saw Mark's hoo-ha. You know, because then it's a whole weird story. And why
is this a criminal law
them?
Question or is this a
well, you were a
parenting question.
You were a prosecutor.
I got this friend that took a shower.
Yeah.
So you tell him. You send him a note today. Go, oh, by the way, what's the little girl's name?
We got to go names. Okay, her name's Deanna.
Oh, Deanna walked in, and when I was getting in the shower, I was embarrassed. She was cute, just thought you guys would find it funny. There you go. That's the whole story.
I mean, it was a sliding door. I couldn't figure out how to lock it, and I had the sense that this was possible because she's a very friendly, curious three-year-old, wants to jump on your lap, play.
Mm-hmm. Not, you know, then.
No.
Not.
Was there any conversation that happened between you two?
At that moment, the words were no, 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 and no.
Got it.
And then I, you know, positioned myself so...
So, Pat, as a dad, you'd want to hear the story.
Absolutely. But 25 years from now, she's going to be sitting on her sorority telling the story about the old guy she saw in the shower.
Right. See, that is the concern.
Right.
It'll be... This...
And by the way, just be glad she didn't have mommy's smartphone and she just learned how to use the camera.
Yeah.
Mark's in for Dave Bennett today. More coming up. News next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
713. It was a simpler time. The 80s. More like the 80s. Wasn't this about 1980? It's from Off the Wall, right?
I think it's 78 I'm going with.
I think it's 1980. I moonwalked through the whole decade.
Such a solid decade.
79.
Album was released in 80, I'll bet.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
I was a young disc jockey. I had hopes and dreams. What happened to me? Hey, it's 714. Was that all out loud? It's 714. We continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio with the 2016 winner of Best Guest on the Steve Cochran Show, Bridget Gaynor. from the Cook County Board. And I got to tell you, this soda tax thing is going really well. So smooth. You know, it doesn't appear that anybody has an issue with it. It just seems
they're gonna
to
be studying this for generations.
Oh my God!
In government classes,
in other counties,
yeah.
And right now, I'm just on the edge of my seat. Ooh, when can we hear another commercial for it? Ooh, when can we see another commercial against it? So what are you hearing? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Is it going to stay? Is it going
to
go?
So October 10th, there is a vote to repeal. So you have to get 9 votes to repeal, and if the president vetoes it, you have to come back and get 11. So right now, I mean, look, it's a...
What is this, a murder trial? You got to get everybody?
12 angry men
right.
drinking yeah. soda.
Right.
So, I mean, but everyone is out now getting their petitions. So it's a really high-stakes time. There's a lot of pressure on the people that voted for the tax. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. We had 8 votes last time against it. And since then, there's been 2 new members of the board. So... we'll see.
I know a lot of the polls are conducted by the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, mm-hmm. or the Restaurant Association. 85% of the people are against this. But my senior citizen mom goes, you know, to Will County now to buy her soda and her Bloody Mary mix.
It's hit people in a way that I think. I mean, look, I didn't hear even close to this much pushback on the sales tax, which covers way more things that you buy. But I think the reason I was against it is a couple. One is, we had a sales tax at the county, we had a property tax at the city, and we had an income tax at the state. And at some point, it's too much too soon.
Isn't it also this, though? Isn't it also, don't use my personal life to pay our bills. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Well, right. I think people look at it and say, it isn't about health, it's about the money. So just, it's like, it's not that he cheated on me, it's that he lied about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, it's actually that he cheated on you. Yeah. So just say it's about the money, and then we can move on from there. But we'll see. I mean, I think we're really close to getting the votes to repeal, and we'll know in a couple of weeks.
And if President Preckwinkle then goes with a veto, would there be 11, or that'd be right on the edge?
I think we'll be right on the edge. But, you know, there has been a lot of community pushback. I mean, look, my whole district is bars and restaurants and these small businesses, and, you know, they're paying the property tax because they own the building. They are a LLC or small company, so they're paying the income tax. And this really hits the top line, not just the bottom line. So people are getting it from all quarters. Even places that usually don't mind the taxes are really pushing back hard. So, you know, we'll see on the 10th, but I think it's close.
I know you don't speak for her, nor would you start here. However, if she wants to even consider running for mayor, she can't have this hanging around her head.
President Preckwinkle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she's thinking about running for mayor. But, you know, look, she's got a really strong view that this is not just what we need to do from a revenue standpoint, but that soda is like the new cigarettes, and pop is terrible for you, and you shouldn't be drinking it, and so we should do everything we can to disincentivize people for drinking it. And that's the view. The question is, this is why it's a democracy, and then people get their vote.
Well, this is why it's free will. If I choose to stay up too late and not change my clothes from golf yesterday, it's because I chose to do it. It's not because it's the good thing to do, right?
I agree, yeah. I'm glad you changed your
clothes. For those of you that aren't watching on television, that would be me.
I didn't out you. I was just using a random example. Just throwing it out there.
I put in the effort today. I'm just...
Yeah, yeah, and I
we
said...
Can tell.
Did you notice I usually give Bridget a big hug. I'm like, I wouldn't hug me today.
Actually, she just didn't know even approach you. She had that female sense from across the room. Like, all right, so let's talk about the problem then. The problem is, how does Cook County pay their bills? Mm-hmm. So where do you go from here?
So look, it's always a combination of, do you need new revenue or can you do things differently? One of the things that we have done over the last couple of years that I don't think we need to be doing now is taking a lot of the stuff that we do every day and outsourcing it, things that the tradespeople could do, you know, changing out the efficiency of light bulbs. We did a $46 million contract to hire a private company, to hire electrical contractors, to pay prevailing wage plus the contractor. There's things like that that we don't have to do. We're in the middle of renegotiating our contracts. One of the issues that, you know, the sheriff has at the jail is tons of absenteeism and overtime. And so the question is, how do you incorporate some of those changes into the union contract so we can handle some of that stuff? We have, you know, he's running about $40 million over in overtime, which is, you know, for him a management challenge. So I think there's a lot of ways we can get to that. And I don't really necessarily believe that we're going to get $200 million from that a year, because when you look at what's happening in Philadelphia and, you know, what we just talked about, what Andrea just said, people are not going to continue to buy the stuff here because we put the tax here.
Right. Your mom's opening a dealership, right?
She's going to get so mad that
it's going to be an Amway scheme for Bloody Mary mix.
But yeah, yeah. And soda pop, too, you guys.
Andrea's mom's Bloody Mary hut right on the county border.
She was having a party. We were having a summer barbecue, and she's buying a lot of sweetened beverages.
We all need to get help at some point. Pat Brady's here. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
Do you see any out for Cook County, or do you really like this move?
This move? Speaking as a former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party in Illinois, this is the worst move I've ever seen.
It's not a good move.
Hey, but here's one thing, though, Bridget, that I always wondered about tax. We already got tax on cigarettes. Why don't they enforce it?
They
really collect it and really crack down on people, because I've heard stories of you can bring a truckload in from Missouri, sell the truck, and you can sell cigarettes here.
Just Andrea's mom can do that?
No, she
But I mean, I got people like...
She doesn't smoke.
People that we know well will call me from when I'm coming in from Kane County and say, hey, can you buy me some smokes? I mean, why don't they start, though, enforcing...
I have to give them credit. The revenue department in the last couple of years has really tightened that up. You can do a good job of collecting. If people are going to commit crimes and commit fraud, that's harder to get around. But I think they have definitely upped their game, and their percentage of collections has gotten higher. So,
what's this story we see about Cook County buying a piece of the Medicaid business?
Yeah, so look, Cook County Hospital has, over the last several years, turned into not just someone who's providing care, but in order to make sure that more people have insurance, so the county taxpayers aren't footing the whole bill, started a managed care company, and so County Care, they called it. And so in trying to kind of expand their reach, it's the same thing as Blue Cross versus United Healthcare versus Cigna. You buy these companies and they come with patients. And so the question for us is, can you acquire patients that then will use your system, and they're getting reimbursed from, you know, they have insurance. And so,
but you got to sublet that. You got to have somebody else run it for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they have professionals.
I love the idea of the commissioner is actually running the healthcare business.
We don't do that. Right. Look, the Cook County Hospital has phenomenal people who are running it. Jay Shannon, you know, he's worked at the county for 30 years.
But we're talking about the county owning that piece of business.
But it's the health system, and the health system is separate. They have a separate board of really smart people that would be like the board of Northwestern. You could compare it to that. That caliber of people oversee the day-to-day operations of the county hospital.
And the goal would be to have costs go down.
The goal is for costs to go down, because you can't just have uncompensated care, which is someone walks in, has no insurance, and doesn't qualify for Medicaid, so the taxpayers pay it. They have moved well above 50% of people with insurance, and I think the number's even much higher than that. It's a big change in the last couple of years.
This is why she was best guest last year.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, come on. You going to announce your run for mayor today or not today?
Not today.
Okay. It's 7:22. I'll come back more with Andrea and more with Pat Brady and more with Bridget Gaynor. And we're going to check in live with what's happening to the poor people of Puerto Rico in just a moment as well on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I expect that tomorrow morning you'll see Coast Guard helicopters in the air and Coast Guard cutters in the vicinity of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands beginning to perform life-saving search and rescue missions.
I've never seen winds like this in Puerto Rico. You take a look at what's happening there, and it's just one after another, but I think we are doing a good job.
Our prayers go out to all the people of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. The Coast Guard will be ready to respond. You can count on us being in the air and on the water as soon as the storm passes.
7:26, we're thinking about Annabelle Duvall's parents this morning, and our friend from Channel 9, who's from Puerto Rico, and her mom and dad, and I think her brother as well, right?
Yes.
Still there?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a lot of friends. She grew up there. But for those of you headed to work or wherever this morning, so many of you have people you love in Puerto Rico, or you've been there and you love it and you'd like to visit again. What state are they in? Victor Kendo from ABC News has done an amazing job in telling this story directly from the scene. And Victor, how are you this morning?
Doing well this morning. Unfortunately, so much of this island just devastated, especially the areas we've been able to drive around in here in San Juan. Debris lining the streets, and it's not just the downed trees and the power lines. Huge pieces of metal, storefronts that have collapsed, facades crumbled. Puerto Rico's hurting this morning.
It's incredible that nobody died in the midst of this. And I guess the injuries are relatively few as well, right?
Right now, you've got the search and rescue teams going out there door to door. Of course, they have to wait until it's safe enough for them to go out and perform these operations the way they'd like to. Overnight, they were out there. The governor was with them. We did just learn of one death related to the storm. I believe that they were trying to put up some wood boarding along their home, and the winds just picked it up and it hit somebody nearby. So that's the one we've heard of so far. But, as you know, with these situations, the numbers can always change.
We're hearing reports, too, power should be is expected to be out 4 to 6 months.
Well, that's the other thing. 100% of Puerto Rico without power this morning. If anybody has any sort of electricity, if there's a light on, it's because they are fortunate enough to have a generator. The infrastructure here took a real, real hit. The power grid, it's in a bad situation right now. It's incredible, honestly, that we're even able to get a cell phone signal, and I'm able to talk to you guys right now so clearly.
You know, there is, you think of the greater Chicago area, and you don't have to go too far outside of the city, and you've got 3.5 million people just in a circle that you could draw and just shut the power off. Shut the power off for everybody to give you some perspective and all that. It's just hard to imagine. Now, we know they're not going to be without power for 6 months because emergency generators are going to have to be flown in by the hundreds. But are we going to see a cavalcade of power company workers brought in like there was to South Florida?
You have to imagine that's the next step. I believe we heard from the Coast Guard right before you guys came to me saying, we'll be there once the storm calms down. Thing is, Maria is still out there. So those first responders, everybody's got to wait till they start all sorts of, you know, getting this place back on the ground until, it's, you know, they have to wait till it's safe enough for them to come back here. I can tell you that in this area of San Juan where we are, we're actually in an area very popular for tourists. It's called Condado. Mm-hmm. A lot of hotels around here, and I've seen a lot of representatives from FEMA out here on the ground already. I'm not sure if they've been able to, you know, start doing their work, but they are here. I can tell you that.
And what's the greatest danger right now? The continued threat of flooding?
That is the biggest fear. That's still an issue. Maria's still out there, and they did put out a flash flood warning. And for that reason, that officials are telling people, if you're already in a safe place, just stay put. Do not go out there. The conditions are still dangerous. It's still not safe to go outside. Don't make us, you know, use any more resources as far as search and rescue is concerned. So that's why they want people to just stay hunkered down for the time being until they're able to clean some of this up and get stuff back to normal.
Victor, we appreciate it. And you really have done an amazing job telling this story from the midst of the storm to the aftermath and beyond. The people there need you, and we need to know what we can mouthpiece to help you out. So keep up the great work.
I appreciate it. Good to be on with you guys.
Thanks. Victor Oquendo from ABC News. We'll come back. More Pat Brady and more Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, future mayor of Chicago. Possibly governor of Illinois, president of the United States, and king of the universe. All of those coming up. And yes, Pat, nothing to add at this point? you look like a thought had occurred to you.
No, I think I was burping.
Sorry.
We'll come back with a big story next at 720 WGN.
I'm Steve Bertrand on the next Wintrust Business Lunch, rethinking business case studies for millennials.
Your noontime check-in with the business world. The Wintrust Business Lunch, today on 720 WGN.
Outperforming and outlasting the competition for over 20 years. That's the success story of Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors. Every Integrity product is made with Ultrex, a pultruded fiberglass material that blows vinyl and vinyl wood composites away. As a professional, you want products that bring durability to every job site and value to every homeowner. Energy-efficient products that stand up to the elements and stand the test of time. That's Integrity Windows and Doors, a brand built on Marvin's long heritage of quality, performance, and service. Every window and door is made in America, built to your specifications, delivered in industry-leading lead times, and sold only at your local Integrity dealer. Integrity Windows and Doors, built to perform.
Whether you're remodeling, replacing, or building from the ground up, let us help you explore your window options. Find your local independent Marvin dealer at marvinwindows.com/Chicago. That's marvinwindows.com/Chicago.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pat Brady's here, and Pat, the Lincoln Forum premier event is tomorrow night.
Tonight.
Oh, it's tonight. That's
tonight
right. Tonight
at 5:30, Chicago Athletic Association featuring Sheriff Tom Dart. And we just signed up Bridget Gaynor for January.
I thought negotiations were still going on. We got one more
segment. They are for me.
Okay. Good.
If I announce it, you can't back out.
What's in my dressing room?
Right.
No green M&Ms.
I see a lot of it going this way. I'm not here to talk about that. And by the way, we're going to do another one on the media on October 10th.
Yes, hosted by Steve Cochran.
Right. Nice. Apparently, Eric was busy. We know Kathy's available, but she didn't get the call.
Mancow's out of town, too.
So, no, I'm looking forward to that. Who's on the panel that night?
All-star panel of political reporters, Marianne Ahern from Channel 5.
That's great.
Craig Wall from Channel 7.
Yep.
And Fox's own Mike Flannery.
Well,
and
be great.
Rick Pearson.
Yeah, so we'll ask him. I mean, going over the media and the world of the media in 2017. Now, beyond that, there is one more on the docket, even before Bridget Gaynor. And what's number three in the pile?
Chris Kennedy, candidate for governor.
Yeah. So all of those coming up. Where are you doing them?
The Chicago Athletic Association, newly renovated, spectacular forum.
Are you having great. Kennedy's lieutenant governor candidate, Roy, too, or just
maybe he's more than welcome to come.
He's interesting.
Yeah.
Raja.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joy. Yeah.
Eric was talking about him last week, his story about having lost a son to gun violence.
Right.
Yeah. Very charismatic. Yeah. He's a good guy.
So all that's coming up. If you want tickets to any of those, you can go to what website?
LincolnForum.org.
Can you walk up to the door? Well, it might be sold out. Buy them ahead of time today.
Yeah, you can pay at the door, but prefer to do it before. But
why don't you just shut people out because the fire marshal's
there? I'm not shutting anybody out. There's plenty of room. I think we're almost sold out on tickets, but we'll always make room.
Yeah, it's Chicago. $20, you can get a folding chair in the back.
Cash.
Bridget Gaynor's here as well. You're one of your finest Cook County Board Commissioners, number one currently on the depth chart. And there is a quote that came up yesterday. I'd be curious to get your take on this, because this, to me, summarizes exactly what's wrong with politics, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or anything in between. Here's a quote. Chuck Grassley talking to Iowa reporters about the potential health care overhaul of Obamacare, this last-ditch effort by Lindsey Graham and company. Here's a quote. You know, I could maybe give you 10 reasons why this bill shouldn't be considered, but Republicans campaigned on this so often that you have a responsibility to carry out what you said in the campaign. That's pretty much of a reason as the substance of the bill.
Or the total opposite of that.
Right, right. He said that out loud to a group of reporters in Iowa. Now, politics is what it is. Those conversations take place behind closed doors all the time. This is now a point where they're not even ashamed of it. They being the collective of all politicians, not even ashamed of it. So, Bridget, let me start with you. When people, I used to get frustrated with people who go, well, there was no reason to believe that anybody can make any change or do anything because the system is that broken. Mm-hmm. That says that. I don't know how to fight that for people. I don't know how to tell people the system isn't broken with a guy with that kind of thump in Washington has that opinion.
Well, but it's also that what it basically says is I'm so hunkered in that I get to say whatever I want. I'm going to put it right out there. I don't even have to pretend that I'm kind of acting as a
public. So we're going to do what we want.
We're going to do what we want.
He's been in elected office since the 50s.
Right. But look,
1950s.
To me, think about what Mike Pence said a couple months ago. I won't be in a room alone with a woman who's not my wife in a professional setting because I don't think it's appropriate. You want to say, did you just say that out loud?
Speaking of the 50s.
They're creating like, this is now the acceptable level of behavior. This is now an acceptable thing for me to do instead of there's no kind of even sanction socially that says, hey, I got to at least pretend. It's like when they announced the health care bill committee and it's 13 white guys talking about maternity care and, you know, what should happen there. And
who knows more about maternity care than 13 old white guys?
Exactly. Yeah. It was like a scene from The Handmaid's Tale. I mean,
it was almost like you couldn't believe you were watching it happen.
Right. But there's not even this pretense that says we got to make people feel like we're at least in it together. Right.
Well, here's what we know about this bill. This bill that's being shoved down people's throat because they've only got a few days to do it before the law changes. You got to get at least 50 votes. They're not even sure they can get 50.
They didn't get 50 the last time. I don't understand what's different about this.
So they're right on the borderline. But this bill turns over big chunks of money and block grants to states who then basically have to write a request that says, yeah, we're not sure we're going to cover all of those pre-existing conditions. We may have to make a change.
Yeah.
All the bill says is the states will still be required to provide affordable insurance to cover most of those conditions.
But affordable is not defined. So affordable to whom?
Right. Yeah, affordable to you is different than affordable to me and so on. Yeah. This is a crock. Right. People should be outraged by this. They shouldn't be able to get 4 votes for this, let alone 50.
Now, wait a minute. I've got to put my Republican hat on and say we didn't create this mess. Obamacare is a majorly flawed piece of legislation.
Yeah, so fix
it was
that.
Rammed
fix
through. It. Okay, right. But rammed through by the Democrats with not a single Republican vote.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Whose fault was that?
No, but that's backwards.
Because we didn't agree with everything the Democrats wanted to shove down our throats. I think that's they made no effort to reach across the aisle on this. There was plenty of room for compromise in this bill, including we advocated for a long time for pre-existing condition coverage and some, being able to sell insurance across state lines and other things that could have been agreed upon. This was shoved right down our throats with no input from the Republicans. So I'm not saying that what they're doing right now is great, but the Democrats created a lot of this problem.
Well, the Democrats can't take a moral high ground on this, but the fact of the matter is, let's deal with the present.
Sure.
And the present is, this is the problem. This is what could get a vote next Wednesday. And then if it goes to the House, maybe it passes, maybe it doesn't. This shouldn't be tolerated by people.
No, I mean, that's what led to McCain's speech a couple months ago. Let's get back to regular order. Let's have committee hearings. Let's have a debate. And let's come up with a good piece of legislation that's a compromise that we can all agree on, not this shoving it down somebody's throat by either party.
But see, this is the other thing. They got themselves into this trick bag because they have these nonsense 40 votes. They know it's not going anywhere, so they just spend all this time on a show so they can, what, talk about that they voted against it 40 times?
Well, how much of this, though, is about they went home on break and the money's drying up? That you've got donors who are saying, I'm not going to write any checks because you guys in Congress don't do anything.
I mean, well, Pat, there's plenty of money. The Republicans have raised a ton of money, the National Committee, although some of it now we find out is going to Trump's legal defense, which I'm sure irritates donors.
By the way, speaking of that, Congressman Raja will join us in just a second. He's trying to pass legislation that says Trump can't just pardon everybody. Mm-hmm. Stand by for that. We'll get the details right after Mary does your traffic. Congressman Raja is standing by now. Let me go here for Raja Krishnamoorthy. And you see what I did there? Huh? My bad.
Look at you.
Who's just off an airplane. We appreciate your time, Congressman. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Steve and Andrea. How are you?
We are well, thank you. And we wanted to hear, more so than the health care discussion, about this legislation you're trying to get moving on the president's pardon ability. What's it called and what's it doing? Or what do you want it to do?
Well, you know, basically, it's called the Presidential Pardon Transparency Act. And my staff learned something very interesting, that the president can pardon someone in secret, and the president can also pardon someone preemptively. That means before charges are even brought against that individual. And so because of the investigation that Special Counsel Mueller is conducting right now related to the Russia probe, we were very concerned that certain individuals might be considered for pardons or might have already been pardoned, thus frustrating that investigation. The person of the day right now is Paul Manafort.
Right.
You may have heard he was the former chairman of the Trump campaign. He was informed by the FBI and Special Counsel Mueller that an indictment is imminent against him. And, you know, as a former Special Assistant Attorney General here in Illinois, I know that the only reason why you inform somebody of an upcoming indictment is you are trying to flip them to get them to cooperate against their colleagues or associates in some kind of a criminal probe. And so what we wanted, we wrote a letter to White House Counsel McGahn, basically inquiring, has a pardon been issued to this individual, or are you considering such a pardon? Because, you know, Special Counsel Mueller and those who are investigating Manafort need to know right now. Otherwise, you know, we're going to end up in a situation where their investigation is really harmed.
So as of now, Raja, they don't have to be disclosed, but your legislation would require that they be disclosed within 3 days of being granted to, and that would give you time to what then? Argue it or try and raise some public outcry?
Exactly. You know, we're not trying to limit the pardon power. That's the constitutional power that the president has. But what we're trying to do is just shed some sunlight on this particular power. You know, it's something that really hasn't come up before now. Andrea, you know, the most famous pardon issued by a president in modern presidential history is the one that Richard Nixon was granted by Gerald Ford. And that was before President Nixon was about to be impeached in Congress. So it was done preemptively. However, it was done publicly, okay? And what we're very concerned about is that a pardon might be issued in secret.
Right, forced transparency is what we're talking about here, Pat.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that you should also know is that the president can even pardon himself or herself. And so,
not without stretching first. you could pull a muscle, Pat.
I beg your pardon, Steve. What did you say?
Yeah, you heard me.
Right, hey,
Congressman, this is Pat Breed. I got a quick question for you. If he does pardon Manafort, Or is he going to get impeached?
I think that there would probably be the votes to initiate that. I don't see how something like that can happen without precipitating, you know, that type of action on the part of the House.
But having said that, with in an era where there's more cowardice amongst the elected officials of Washington than there's ever been, you can't count on that. So that's why I think your legislation is really important.
I think so. It's gotten some attention. A bunch of folks have agreed to co-sponsor it. Unfortunately, I'm having trouble getting my good friends on the other side of the aisle to co-sponsor. I hope that some of them will consider. Because really, at the end of the day, this is not just about, you know, this particular president. It's about any president of any party. And, you know, it just so happens now we're thinking about it because of the strange circumstances that we find ourselves in.
Bridget, you deal with, all of what Cook County is going with. This is obviously a different story with what Roger's trying to talk about here, but this just sounds like a positive move.
Like a positive move, as long as there aren't, and I don't think there are because I've read the legislation, there's no cheap shots in there. You're not trying to kind of embarrass somebody. And the thing to remember when you're in a government is someone else is going to be there next. So you're either going to have to live under what you're passing or keep everyone held to the same standard. The idea, I don't even think most people knew that you could pardon someone before they had been charged.
A preemptive pardon.
Secret. I have never heard of
that. I didn't
know
that.
And so the question becomes, we have a right to know what people are charged with, and they have a right to defend themselves, and that plays out in public as it has.
That's a process.
That's the process. And so whenever anything happens totally in secret that doesn't have to do with national security, then, you know, you're inviting a problem.
Congressman, I know you have to run. I appreciate it. For more information on this, I assume we just go to your website?
Yeah, absolutely. www.krishnamoorthy.house.gov. If you can't spell my name.
And by the way, no one can.
just Google Raja, R-A-J-A, and Congress, and you'll that site should pop up right away.
And you're doing fine work, sir. I appreciate it. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, Venusian, Martian, you should be held to the same standards. You can preemptively pardon people before they're charged.
I was not aware of that.
That's just amazing. So it's important legislation. I'd like to tell you that, you know, what you just said is the absolute truth. You would think that would be the tipping point. Trump starts pardoning the family, and then the members of the House go, okay, President Trump, it's over.
And I'm not sure.
I don't believe that it is.
No, but I don't. Listen, he's under investigation right now, and we saw this yesterday. Clearly he's under investigation for obstruction of justice.
Right. Well, you called that months ago.
Well, that's the easiest one to prove, and I think they're halfway there. I agree with Chuck Todd. It's not going to happen for 5 or 6 months, but the document request they made yesterday relates directly to the obstruction charge.
I still think Pence ought to be measuring for drapes. I think it's sooner than later.
Yeah, the whole thing is
I don't know if we're any better off there.
No, it's all – well, I think Pence is a better manager, and he's not going to embarrass us. But the whole thing is it's so bad for the country. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for everything. So it's not even funny. It's just—it's kind of sickening.
No, uncertainty and volatility is always bad.
Right. I mean, yeah. We're finally pulling out of the 2008 mess, and we might have to deal with this. So
yeah, and the market will crash in a spectacular fashion if this starts to go down the impeachment road. My guess is you'll see a couple of thousand points go away daily.
Sure, and then when we're distracted with that, like we were in the 90s with President Clinton, the bad actors in the world do bad things.
Yeah. I'm talking about the impeachment process. If Trump actually agrees to leave office, the market could hit 1 million overnight. Bridget, as your other dad, I'd like to say thank you for coming in. Do you need allowance for the day? Do you need any money
Always.
Or anything?
Always. Offering.
Bridget Gaynor, future a guest at the Lincoln Forum, which,
yes,
again,
thank you.
Tonight, the debut event.
5:30, Chicago Athletic Association, LincolnForum.org.
Yeah, we hope everybody will go.
October 10th is a big day, though. Steve Cochran.
This is a big day tonight. It's policy talk without the boredom. Everybody's going to have some fun
and with drinks.
Stuff.
Yes.
You should always have to have drinks with policy talk. In fact, we should have drinks here. Have you thought
okay,
about that?
Easy. Your best guest.
Andrea's got the. She's got the. Wait, right, doesn't she have the Bloody Mary mix hookup? Okay. Right. Okay.
It's the best guest. Now she's concierge. It's 8:03. We're back with the news next. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
8:15, Dean Richards, sponsored by
our friends at Hyundai.
All right. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
God bless them.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm very, very well today.
Is it because Selma Hayek's in the news?
It's always lovely anytime I can look at any video of her.
She's a lovely woman.
She's pretty.
Is it because Anthony Michael Hall was arrested? What's making you happy today?
You know, the Anthony Michael Hall story is not a good one. He got arrested. But I was just reminded that, you know, the great Roy Leonard, who always had a good word about everybody.
Except that guy.
Roy would find the best in anyone, no matter what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I ever heard him speak ill of
was
Anthony Michael Hall.
Didn't he come in wasted for an interview or something? Wasn't that the backstory?
That is what Roy alleged.
Yeah. Well, Roy would know. I mean, you know, so he interviewed a million people, right? If somebody wasn't up 100% to the task of being interviewed?
I would think. Except we can still be sued, so...
Well, I could be sued for this, I suppose. But Chelsea Handler was in here before she blew up on late-night TV doing stand-up in town.
Oh, I remember.
And
wasn't I in the studio?
You were in studio for that, and I threw her off the show.
And not because she was a... bad speaker.
No, because she, in my opinion, appeared to be allegedly inebriated. Maybe intoxicated.
Under the influence.
Under the influence.
Maybe we should start a...
we should have a disclaimer. We should have like a 6-minute disclaimer that runs right before the bit.
Or like a breathalyzer before we let...
Oh, before we let any guests in? That's not a bad call.
Before we let any guests in, they have to, you know...
Imagine the staff that would catch at your place...
To say Dave couldn't do one sports report then for a guy.
That's a good point.
Don't test the staff.
Hey, that's a mouthwash.
I hadn't thought about that. Tom Cruise is in the news as well. Terminator movie. Will and Grace coming back next week. Game of Thrones. It's all in the news coming back. But Dean, enough about this. Show business people. What about you and your needs?
Are you
all right? Everything okay?
I have a busy day today.
Okay, tell us about your day.
Well, I have to write several reviews today. Thursday's my, you know, a lot of people say, Dean, what's your week like?
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be kind of busy all the time, and usually it's pretty manageable, but I got to say Thursday is my busiest day of the week because, you know, Friday we do all the reviews, Thursday's my deadline day, sometimes they don't let us see the movies until the very last minute, so, you know, at the last minute I'm writing reviews.
And a lot of people would say, well, Dean, you're very talented, why couldn't you just... ad-lib those reviews, but you have to tape some of those. It'll run later in the day and overnight and into tomorrow before the morning news, and those have to have cues that are manageable by the 900 people that it needs for every newscast. So even though Dean is talented enough to pull this off on an ad-lib basis, you just can't do it.
Yeah, it's more difficult on TV to do that. On radio, we can... you know, we can just do that. But, you know, there's too many other people involved in video.
Screwing up the system.
Video has to run at a certain time.
Right.
And the graphics.
Right.
You know, where it says Kingsman, the Golden Circle,
and
the little banners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people think they have real problems in the world, but
yeah.
there's a real first world problem. When are my banners going to run correctly?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I would rank that right up there with the world economy.
right.
Famine and pestilence.
Yep.
I would also
especially
say this.
Pestilence.
That, yeah.
Especially pestilence.
There are people that ask me. They go, Steve? And I say, what? They say, what's your day like? And I say, yeah, pretty easy. We'll come back and...
over by 10:10.
I would disagree.
No, there's more to do.
No.
It's a pressure cooker going on that big noggin of yours.
A pressure cooker of ideas, Dean.
That's a hibachi bowl filled with all kinds of ingredients up at all times.
It's much like my look. It doesn't just happen.
Steve is like the guy Ron of Japan, who just kind of chops everything up and flips the ideas in his
head. He's the Benihana of morning radio.
That's true.
Anybody could just put the ingredients out, but to do it, you know, with style and not chop your fingers off at the same time, that's...
And a special feature on the show, every guest that comes in gets drunk tested and I pop a shrimp in their pocket.
And that is code, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yet not that hard to figure out.
That has nothing to do with seafood, by the way.
Paul Rennie reconsidering how much he thinks of you and me.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Mark Carman's here for Dave Ennett today and tomorrow, right, Carman?
That is true, Steve, yes.
Say hi to Dean.
Hi, Dean. I wanted to tell you, Steve, that...
Wow, that was a quick high.
Well, Dean, Happy New Year.
Yeah, hi, Dean. By the way, I wanted to tell you.
Well, I just Dave's off because, it's Rosh Hashanah. As a Jewish man, I figured I'd come to the Steve Cochran Temple in the morning and then go to see my people in the afternoon.
I'm just going to tell your rabbis on line one, you got some explaining to do.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a little bit off here, so I'm looking for... Dean, can you validate this was an okay decision, actually?
This has to be in your heart,
right,
Carm?
Okay,
right.
Okay.
This is a question.
Well, we all know hobby Christians. You just happen to be a hobby Jew.
I have defined my commitment to the religion in my own way. Yes.
Okay. All right.
You probably would have not come in had it been Yom Kippur, right?
I don't know. I'm going to be here. Northwestern's playing Wisconsin. I'm not going to take it. That one's a little more painful because I would atone for the sin of not being there today on Yom Kippur, but I'm going to have to do that on
the... does create sort of a problem when you have to atone for the sin you haven't yet committed but know you will.
Right. That'll be... I'll have to do that.
You have to pre-atone.
Yeah. It'll be a... Yeah, it's like what's Trump doing? It's kind of...
Yeah, pre-pardon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Trump's not going to pardon you for this. But anyway, I'm glad you're here.
We're glad that he's here.
All right, Selma Hayek, is she leading a wave of celebrities who are going to help Mexico?
There have been a number of celebrities that have donated to earthquake victims in Mexico, but she is the most high profile right now, and she's donated $100,000. She said in an Instagram account that she knows what it's like to go through something like this. She was living in Mexico City during their 1985 earthquake. And saw the devastation, had a couple of relatives who were and friends who were killed during it.
Wow.
So she really empathizes very much with what people are going through right now. She made her donation to UNICEF and asking her fans to donate and help whatever you can. I mean, how can you not be moved by this footage that we're seeing of little kids being pulled out of the rubble? It's heartbreaking.
No, it's brutal. And this 12-year-old girl that they're still trying to rescue, they're trying to fashion some sort of tunneling system so whatever is above her doesn't collapse on her.
It's the one that they're hearing her voice.
Yeah.
They can hear her scream, but they can't get to her. Ugh.
Yeah, it's awful. Just awful. Game of Thrones, they're doing a prequel?
This is the fifth prequel now that has been announced for this.
I didn't know that. Not exactly following this.
Does Andrea need oxygen?
Oh, I just got into this. I'm on season 3, so don't spoil it for me. I thought I'd watch an episode to see what the hype was about, so my friend got me into it. Now I can't stop.
I think they're calling it Young Sheldon.
No, they're not.
Oh, that's something else?
Wrong series.
Okay. Okay.
Will and Grace 2. Willer and Gracer.
the co-executive producer of the show, Brian Cogman, is writing this new... series. He's working with author George R.R. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
No specific details have been given for any of the projects yet, but this is the fifth of the prequels that are being pitched to HBO. What we do know right now is this: the prequel, it'll be a prequel, not a spinoff, and that none of the current cast members will be involved in any of these prequels.
And as far as storylines go, you know, the history changed more slowly back in that era. So how's it different? You know what I mean? I mean, you're still going to have people storming the castle, aren't you? You're
right.
Still going to have...
dragons.
You know, more dragons, less dragons?
Right.
Different dragons.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, who am I to judge?
Bob Newhart and Suzanne Plachette wake up because there's a dragon outside their high-rise window like that. It's like you can only go so far with some of these kind of deals. But, I mean, nobody knows any details. That's how addicted everybody is to this. People are excited about this.
Sure.
And really, there's not one bit of interesting information that I'm giving you here, except that they're working on prequels and pitching them to HBO.
Dean sends us notes every morning on what might be discussed and some ideas and things. I'm not sure what we do with this one. Apparently, Will and Grace are at a hula.
So?
What?
Look, read it.
What don't you get
it's
about
the third
that?
One down.
Oh, yeah.
Will
right.
and Grace on hula.
On hula.
Well, I don't know what the big deal is about it. I think I may have been typing a little bit fast and meant to put Hulu.
Oh, Hulu.
That may be what,
oh, that explains
what you
So the original series is going to be on Hulu?
The typos are so funny. Yeah, starting today, the entire Will and Grace series, all 194 episodes, are now available on Hula. And also on cable on demand. And the new series.
Do you have to have a grass skirt to be able to see the old episodes?
It's more enjoyable. Yeah. It's way more enjoyable that way. The new episodes are going to begin next week on NBC. I'm super excited to see what they're going to do with it.
Do we all agree that we care about Jack and Karen and Will and Grace are just extras?
Yes. Well, they're, yeah.
Karen, how funny is Karen?
She's
plus
great.
The storyline. Didn't you tell us this, Dean? The storyline is she's friends with Trump?
Yes, that's
awesome.
Yeah, that she's old friends with Don and Donnie. I think she calls him Donnie.
It's tremendous.
Donnie and Melania. But supposedly all the side characters are back as well, who are also hilarious.
They're doing another Terminator movie?
They are going to be doing another Terminator movie. James Cameron is back, and he's behind this whole thing. And he's not only brought back Arnold Schwarzenegger, but now he has signed Linda Hamilton.
Isn't that one of his ex-wives?
To bring back the Sarah Connor character.
Oh, I liked her character in T2.
Yeah. I thought he was married to Linda Hamilton. Who was she married to?
She was married to Catherine Bigelow.
No, he was married to Catherine Bigelow.
He was married to Catherine Bigelow.
Oh, he cheated on her with Linda Hamilton, right?
Is that the story?
There was he hooked up with her, I think, at some point.
I think he made her wear blue paint while he was thinking of another movie down the road. I don't know.
Allegedly, in my opinion.
Tawdry.
Roy Leonard's favorite actor got arrested?
So tawdry. Anthony Michael Hall got into a scuffle with a neighbor of his. There's actually surveillance video of it where he is seen assaulting his neighbor, violently shoving a man.
He's a big dude, too, right? Anthony Michael Hall?
He is kind of a big dude. The man said that his arm was broken. In a scuffle about whether or not a gate was locked, Anthony Michael Hall pleaded no contest, sentenced to 40 hours community service.
And what's the Tom Cruise story? This is weird.
This is a weird story. This is a couple of months ago, there was an accident that took place during the filming of Tom Cruise's latest film, American Made. Two pilots were actually killed. Another was injured. When they were making this movie in an airplane stunt. And the families of the two men who were killed are saying that it's Tom Cruise's fault that this happened, that Cruise and the director of the movie, Doug Liman, put these very high-risk stunts together that involved complicated flying scenes. So while they are not part of the family lawsuit, the production company is. The family is saying that it's Cruise and Lyman's fault. Cruise could have been the pilot. He is a pilot, and he could have flown the plane. He could have done all this, that it was unnecessarily complicated and dangerous.
I guess the counter there would be these are professional pilots who didn't have to perform the stunts if they deemed them to be too dangerous.
Yeah, if you're a stuntman or a stunt pilot, you pretty much know that there's danger going into it. It's a shame that somebody died, but
of course
that's you become a stunt anything. You know that there's a certain risk and danger in it all.
You know, I do all my own stunts on this show, right?
I do know that. Right. I didn't know that, but I witnessed you once lean over and pick up your own pen.
Right. And a lot of people say, Steve, do you sit there yourself for the entire show? Or do you have someone sit for you? I go, no, I sit here. They go, what about the talking? I go, no, I do all that as well.
Yeah. Sometimes, he'll sip coffee during the show, and there's a guy that puts the coffee cup right up to Steve's lips, and tells him suck.
Right, quite a sight to see, Steve. Let me tell you.
You know, it's close. I think he says you suck. I think it's different. Thank you, buddy. That's Dean. He'll do the movies tomorrow. We're back in a moment with the big story, which is on
Drew Peterson.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Guard your wives. Mm. Next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pass and a shot and a big save by Crawford. All alone as Colony fires. Glove save. Center ice to Taze, breaking in over the ab line. Left circle. Shoots. He scores.
Jonathan Toews makes it 5-3 in favor of the Hawks. When he's him up a side of the net, should he score? Artemi Anisimov! Left circle, should he score? And we're tied at one! Kane in the high slot, fires a shot, he scores! Hat trick for Patrick Kane, the third of his career!
How much fun would it be to be at Weidemann's house on Christmas morning? Someone give me socks! I've never been so excited! Oh, a new hat! I wanted a hat!
That's pretty good.
I have said again and again, and I will stand by this. There's never been anybody better at doing hockey on the radio like John Weidemann. Because just to keep the flow of the game in his head the way he does, and he told us a couple of years ago, and I remember this, talking about how he doesn't necessarily have to follow numbers on a chart the way traditional play-by-play is done, because he can identify players by the way they skate or stick handle. It's just crazy. The last thing John Weidemann needs is to stop and think about what he's doing. That's the only thing that could slow him down. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve. Hey, by the way, this isn't John. This is John's stunt double talking to you.
Are you like that on Christmas morning? Oh, honey, I love it. It's unbelievable.
No, I'm the one holding the camera usually.
Oh, yeah, the dad move.
Kind of taking it all in,
yeah. We'll see Christmas later. We have to shoot it right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a question about a guy right out of the gate. Tell me about John Hayden, this kid from Yale.
He's a kid that, first of all, he's a good-sized kid. He's 6'3 and about 210. He's a guy that goes to the front of the net the way Joel Quenneville loves. Mm-hmm. Went to Yale, smart kid, graduated on time. He was born here in the Chicago area, and he was raised in Connecticut. But he's a guy that brought energy and a little bit of muscle to the Blackhawks at the end of last year. And it was kind of a timely thing. It was an injection of that, those aspects of play that, you know, the team kind of needed at the time. So,
any way to tell if he's going to make the team?
Well, I would think he's made a good showing for himself.
Right.
Definitely. So, you know, it's only been one game, but he, you know, in the training camp scrimmage, he was very physical. In the game against Columbus, he was physical. And on top of that, he went to the front of the net and he battled for, you know, to create chances for himself. So far, I think he's got a passing grade, but I don't make those decisions.
Right. Well, get your mic on there.
Hey,
Mark.
John Mark Harmon. Sorry about that. Good morning. Hey, another young guy, Alexander DeBrincat, supposed to make his debut, 39th overall pick, the Blackhawks in 2016. What do you got on DeBrincat? I know that a lot of people are super optimistic about him.
Yeah, Alex DeBrincat is about 5'7". He goes maybe 165 pounds, but he plays like he's 6'2 and 215. In many ways, he has no fear of going to the dirty areas in order to score goals. He will take abuse. I mean, he did it in the Ontario Hockey League the last three seasons, and he racked up great numbers. OHL Player of the Year last year, the leading scorer in the league. He's a little bit, guys. I'll make, you know, maybe some Hawks fans might think this is a bit of a stretch, but he's a little bit like Artemi Panarin in that. He can finish, he's just willing to put himself in a position to score that goal where, you know, he may get freight trained just as he shoots the puck, but he has no fear of that. And he also plays with a little more of an edge. He's got a reputation from junior of starting things up a little bit. So, you know, you've got a kid there that's got some guts. He's from the Detroit area. Three straight years in the Ontario Hockey League where he scored 50-plus goals. I think in time, Alex DeBrincat could be a full-time guy on the Blackhawks left wing.
Let's go from young to old. How weird is that? I mean, I know you've dealt with almost 50% of a new team almost every year, but how weird is it going to be for you to call games without ever seeing Hossa?
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, I miss Marian Hossa already. He's, he's been a fixture in the Blackhawks roster for the longest time. And, you know, Marian's situation is one that it's a little bit perplexing. You know, I'm sure around the National Hockey League there are guys that are dealing with allergies because of the equipment. But, you know, Marian had such a presence on the team both offensively and defensively. And I think that, you know, for the first, let's say, couple months, you know, the team will find out how much that they're going to miss Marion. And it's my hope that, you know, by the end of the season, he'll be able to come back somehow. I don't know. I don't know the nature of this situation that he's in. I don't know if you can recover from it. But I would think that if anybody could, it would be Marion.
Of what you've seen of Brandon Saad so far, and I know it's been limited, or what you're hearing, too, about his workouts, what are we going to see that's different than what we saw when he left?
Well, he's going to be a more mature player for sure. 2 years of experience in Columbus have seen to that. He was kind of thrust into a leadership role in Columbus.
Right.
So I think you're getting back a more finished product than when he left. Definitely more mature. He's always had a knack for being able to, you know, score goals and put himself in the right position to score goals and complement the line with Jonathan Toews centering. That, I think, is probably the biggest part of it. You know, Richard Panik will probably play on the right side with Saad on the left and Toews in the middle. And they're looking to see not only Saad produce, but to see Jonathan Toews' production come back up. In the last 2 years, it's been down a little bit, and no surprise, Brandon Saad's been in Columbus the last 2 years. So then that doesn't mean that Toews can't play with somebody else and be productive. But the feeling was that with Saad being re-added to the roster, that it would benefit Toews and really to a greater degree benefit the entire team. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those three guys play together. They played a little bit together in camp, and they were fun to watch.
So if Toews had the season that he's expected to have the last couple of years, you think they make that trade, John?
Good question.
That's a good question, yeah.
Good question. I think it also had to do, Carm, with the dollars and with the salary cap. The salary cap has become such a factor in teams' fortunes now that, you know, and I'm not probably not telling you anything that you don't already know, but it's just my view that if every team could spend as much money as they want, my God, the Blackhawks would probably have won about 6 Stanley Cups.
No doubt.
Since Rocky Wirtz took over.
No question.
You know, because they wouldn't have to jettison players. You know,
right.
They could keep them in the fold. And, you know, and the scouting department's done a magnificent job of drafting players. The development has taken place by the coaches in Rockford and, you know, here in Chicago. So, I mean, but the cap is a reality. And because of that, Artemi Panarin's contract was due to go up after 2 years. He was going to be making $6 million a year this year and next year. And that number probably would shoot up to, I mean, who knows, maybe $8-9 million, depending on his performance. So with Brandon Saad, they have a little more certainty. He's got 4 years of contract left. And I think at the back end of that, they'll be able to manage things a little better because by that time, other players, their salaries will be off the books as well.
Scott Darling, by the way, if you're a Blackhawk fan and you're in North Carolina this winter and you'd like to see what the Blackhawks look like over the past few years, half the team is in Carolina. Yeah. Who's going to back up Corey Crawford?
Good question. Right now, Anton Forsberg has made a good pitch for himself with his performance in Columbus. The jury's still out a little bit. It could be Colin Delia. Well, actually, that's a little bit of a stretch, but you just don't know.
Right.
Jean-Francois Berube is a guy that came over from the Islanders. Hold on 1 second, Steve. Okay, I had to give my wife a kiss goodbye. She's
That's very nice. Yeah. I thought you were concerned about the dog. We didn't mind the dog at all.
Yeah, no, the dog's in the car. He's due for a trip with me to the park. You know, as far as the backup goaltending position is concerned, I think that they're in pretty good shape. I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to replace a guy like Scott Darling.
Yep.
It really is. And, and Darling is going to be a starter down in Carolina. So
good.
Again, here we go. We're talking about the salary cap and how it affects the rosters. You know, Scott Darling, he was due a big raise. And I knew that the team, everybody knew that the team, you know, couldn't afford the guy, couldn't afford to keep the guy. So they had to move him, get something back. They got back a third round pick. And they knew that they were going to have to go out and get a goaltender from somewhere. Well, it turns out, right now, Forsberg, the guy I spoke of, was traded from Columbus along with Brandon Saad in exchange for Artemi Panarin and Tyler Mott. And right now, the jury is back so far on Forsberg. He looks like, based on his performance in Columbus, like he's got the edge on that position. But there are 5 more games to go in preseason, so we'll see.
Got the Red Wings tonight. All of us have been Hawks fans forever. Wish we'd see them more during the regular season, but here's your opportunity.
Yeah.
See them tonight. What time are you guys on?
Well, Judd will take the airwaves around 7 o'clock, and then the puck drop is at the bottom of the hour, 7:30. And you'll see most of the regulars for the Blackhawks tonight. You know, you'll see not all of them, but you'll see a fair amount of them, and you'll see some kids that are trying to win jobs worked in there as well. You'll also see on the Red Wings side probably a lot of their kids, because in the road games, they tend to bring the kids that are vying for jobs and a couple of veterans. Then when they're at home, they try and put on a show in the preseason. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, good. Well, I appreciate the info. And you already sound like you're in mid-season form.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, we continue. The Chicago Podcast Festival is coming Saturday, October 7th. Jennifer Weigel will be one of the people highlighted, and we'll be connecting with Jennifer later in the hour. Joining us now here on CLTV and on 720 WGN is Carla Bruni. We're kidding around all morning, calling you the former First Lady of France, but you would never marry a guy that short, would you?
No, indeed, I would not.
That's the difference. Sarkozy has no shot with Carla Bruni.
That's true.
All right, so there's an event coming up, but first off, explain who you are and what you do and why you do it.
So I'm the assistant director at the Evanston Rebuilding Warehouse in Evanston, Illinois, and we're sort of like two nonprofits. We have a warehouse where we take in all kinds of construction materials, things that are being taken down out of houses. People are remodeling, whole houses are coming down. We take in all those materials so that they stay out of the landfill. So we have a 14,000 square foot warehouse where we take all that in. We're a nonprofit, so we sell it at really affordable prices. We get all the North Shore stuff, so it's really, really pretty high-end, great materials. But we also have a workforce training program, which is what this event is fundraising for.
And but aside from the event, are you still doing community glue?
I am. We just
this is how we met you initially.
Yeah. Community. We had to fix all of our broken things.
Yes, and we had you come in and fix our stuff.
But bobbleheads,
yes.
Yeah, community glue, Mark, is a group where you have something that's broken.
Uh-huh.
And you can bring it into Carla, and I've given Carla a hard time since I met her. I go, might want to charge for this, where she will fix and also teach you how to fix your stuff.
Yeah, we have a whole group of volunteers who are, many of them are far more skilled than I am in various realms.
What's the coolest thing you've done, fix-wise?
Because
you just love like seeing the guts of stuff, right? And how it's put together?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
You're a weirdo, but we're glad to have you.
I know. Everyone is just like, we like to problem solve, you know? Like, we enjoy it a lot. We did try to rewire, actually, a Trump doll a while back to change a message, but that was
that didn't work out.
By the way, I was not involved with that, regardless of whether people think I was.
A lot of people have been trying that in the past 9 months.
It's true. Funny. We also failed, but
but this is a group in Edgewater. Local residents come together to do it, so it's pretty cool. What do you have broken at your house right now?
Lots of things, and I'm right in Lincoln Square, so very close by here, Carl. There's a window that I don't know how to get closed.
Well, you can't bring the apartment. Yeah. Tour.
Why can't we have? Why can't the whole group come to the apartment? Right, we'll have a community.
No, so needy.
Doesn't work that way.
Just so needy. This event coming up, Wrecking Ball, is Saturday night, right?
It is Saturday night. Yeah. And so this is raising money for. We have a workforce training program where we train individuals facing multiple barriers to employment due to former incarceration or homelessness or any variety of issues. And we teach them how to deconstruct homes that are going to come down anyway. So we keep all of that material, again, out of the landfill. About 40% of our landfill waste in this country is construction and demolition debris. So
is that right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
So, worry about recycling your water bottle, but also, we're throwing entire buildings out, all the time.
But think about that in relation to hurricane destruction now.
Well,
where is all that going to go?
Well, the problem with that is you can't actually salvage those materials because they're damaged. They're toxic. They're waterlogged.
Right. So since you can't recycle them and you have limited space, especially in the Caribbean, what are they going to do with that waste? They're going to have to ship that waste somewhere.
I was just talking about that with some folks. Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, it's actually a really big problem. So, yeah. And even in where all of our stuff is trucked over 100 miles away already.
Oh,
so
God.
We can't have anything new open up in Cook County. So there's all these reasons why this stuff is super important. I seem to focus on it a bit, but it's so we have these workforce trainees. It's extremely expensive actually to run this program because of all kinds of workers' comp and insurance and all these different things. And also we help them with all their like soft skills as well. Like how do you interview? How do you, you know, like opening up a bank account? We even have meditation in the morning. A lot of people have a lot of trauma, a lot of stuff going on, and it really kind of chills them out in a good way. So it's expensive to run it. So we have this annual fundraiser where we bring a bunch of people together. We have like Hammerschlagen, which is where you pound nails into giant stumps of wood and have competitions.
Cool?
We have like all kind. We have giant Jenga sets that the trainees make.
So these
different games and stuff.
Giant Jengas.
Is cool.
I'm more into Hammerschlagen. That's awesome.
It is awesome. I lost by one nail last year. I was furious. Kidding. Yeah.
You got to check. You got to see the Evanston Rebuilding Warehouse. The first time I went out there, it's so cool. There's standalone bathtubs. There's sinks. There's cool mirrors. I mean, just stuff that you normally...
Viking stoves, incredible old, reclaimed flooring, giant, pediments and mantelpieces. And I mean, it's really kind of the best of the best stuff.
How do you not... So the people who volunteer at PAWS always want to take the animals home. Is your house just filled with cool things like swords?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
And...
Yeah.
Right?
I have a giant closet where I just sort of like have to close anytime somebody comes over because it's
so you're like a reality show waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's
Carla's house. Local booze, local food, live music, raising money for a great cause. Why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What time are you starting?
So we start at 7. We go to 11. We're going to start out with some live blues music. One of our customers, actually, who comes in regularly, is an incredible blues musician, and he came in and just started playing randomly at the warehouse, because he always played jazz at the warehouse.
So guess what? Now you're working the fundraiser.
Yeah, exactly, basically. And he was, it's amazing how willing people are to help, because they tend to actually really like what we do. So,
the red carpet, not the red carpet, the green carpet, and it's like, well, my dress is made out of recycled pop tabs.
Yeah, except that we mostly wear jeans.
Right. And,
it's a casual event. I should also say that. Like, we just gave up. We're like, you know what? We all pretty much.
Everybody does formal. Why not jeans? It's fun for
exactly,
people.
Exactly. Exactly. We're like, and if you're going to be swinging a hammer around and doing whatever. And also, I should say, our auction items are amazing. Because we have so many handy people who come in and artists. So they take reclaimed materials and they build, we have all of these little free libraries, and it's just these crazy awesome pieces of furniture that people have made out of stuff. And so we have probably the best auction in town too.
And jeans, by the way, and we know come from the jean trees and the jean orchards, so those are natural as well.
Right,
we make sure there's a consistency.
100%. We only wear used jeans.
All right, so here's what you need to know. It's Saturday night. It's the Wrecking Ball's big event, and everybody should be there. What if I have a bathtub or a sink I want to donate? Can I bring it?
Well, no. Not on Saturday.
Oh, come on. I want to bring my bathtub.
It's like admission.
And the event is actually not at our warehouse, so that would also be problematic. But and I should say, actually, for all of this information and to look at all of the auction items and stuff ahead of time, go to wreckingball2017.org. It's wreckingball2017.org and find everything you need there in terms of what we've got going on and sort of the program.
And your bathtubs, your sinks, your vanities get dropped off at a different spot.
Yeah.
Where?
So the warehouse is located at 2101 Dempster Street in Evanston.
What is that? Dempster and what?
It's about a mile west of Ridge, if that helps people who aren't as familiar.
It's kind of the edge of Evanston.
Yeah, it's West Evanston.
Yeah.
So we're sort of a different demographic. We're sort of trying to fuse East Evanston and West Evanston together.
Community building.
Economically and community building, et cetera. Yeah, exactly. So you can come out to the warehouse. That's Tuesday through Saturday. We're open 10 to 5. Everybody's welcome. You don't need to, it's not like a club or anything. Everybody should be able to come whenever they want. And we should definitely see you guys on Saturday night, too.
And don't bring your sink.
Don't bring your sink on Saturday, please.
You are remodeling. You might do that.
I could, yeah. The entire house is being torn up. Chicks with tools. And again, we've asked you this before, but where did you learn your handywoman stuff?
Oh, gosh. Combination of things.
But a lot of it you self-taught, right? Am I right about that?
I grew up, I was kind of a tomboy. My dad dragged me around and made me do all the work and stuff with him, which I actually really enjoyed.
Sure.
I went to grad school for historic preservation, so I got a little bit more into sort of the finer details of things through that. But I'm just kind of an antsy person. I do a lot of writing, but I also need to balance it out, and I like to problem solve and stay busy. physical.
I love your life. I have to ask you, I know you do a lot of work in designating landmarks, too. What stands out for you? What's one of the coolest buildings or one of the coolest places you've been in Illinois or in Chicago?
Well, this is like your real job, right?
Yeah.
I have a few jobs. I'm a consultant, so I sort of sort of all over the place. I get to work at the warehouse a couple of days a week, and then I do some other stuff. But
a building maybe that or some place that you've kind of designated or you said this should be a landmark.
She's Queen Bernie. She just goes around and designates them as such.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's funny. I actually tend to work in low and mid income neighborhoods more than anything. So I'm really like, I really love the people, and I love getting to know the neighborhoods and doing all of that research. And then yeah, we list things on the National Register and stuff, but it's sort of like about fostering community pride and sort of increasing awareness about the history of areas and stuff that I get really super excited about. I like high style buildings; they're great and everything, but everyone's kind of on that. I'm really more into the community aspect, which is why I'm, you know.
You have a unique brain. Yes, and that's why you're incredibly wealthy. Yes,
exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, that's that is where my wealth comes from.
Yes, people were wondering. And here's the deal, kids. If your crap is broken, Community Glue would like to fix it and teach you how to be more self-sustaining in your own life.
Definitely.
But they won't go to Mark's house and fix his window.
Yeah, no, you got to be able to fit it through the door.
Yeah.
That's got to bring it
And by the way, Carla's door, not your door.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
All right, so two websites for people. Community Glue, where do they go for that?
Communityglue.org.
And for the Saturday night event?
Saturday night, go to wreckingball2017.org.
You're always welcome here.
All right, thank you so much.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, you guys are the best.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Stand by. We come back. It's Wang Dang Doodle time. I need a listener to play with me. The Wang Dang Doodle. We'll do our picks in a second on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It's Wang Dang Doodle time.
351! Rover, sit! Hut, hut!
I could care less. Wait, I couldn't care less.
There you go.
Whatever.
There you go. Commissioner Sandberg, explain how the game works.
We have teams. You're going to pick a game and a score. And then I'll tell you who won.
Now, last week, who was the winner last week?
Last week was...
It was a tie.
Cochran and Bill from Naperville.
Yes.
And Dave Ennett and John DeCoste.
John DeCoste is standing by because Dave Ennett is not here. Did Dave leave a pick for us?
He did. He and John, they've discussed it, and they have a selection.
Oh, so John's going to make the announcement.
Yes, yes.
I understand.
And you've got John on the line from Ingleside. He's playing with you.
Which John is my John? John 1?
Oh, John 1. Good, John 1. Good question.
All right, let me go here.
And then your mom, Anne, is our celebrity picker. And when I asked her to be the celebrity picker, she said she didn't really care to be called a picker. So she's the celebrity chooser.
She's going to be with us today. Yay.
That's funny. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning.
Where are you from?
Ingleside, Illinois.
All right. What do you do?
I do tool and die.
I'm sorry, you do
tool
what?
Tool and die.
Oh, tool and tool die.
Yeah.
I thought you were threatening me there for
it
a second.
It did sound very
No.
My dad was a tool and die guy. What do you make?
Piece parts for various different companies. Just little piece parts, you know.
Down to how many thousandths of an inch?
Pretty 0.001. Yeah. It all depends on the customer.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I think that his nickname might be Papa John based on his email.
That's right.
Yeah.
And why are you Papa John?
I've got two grandkids.
Ah, good for you, man. I joined the club myself. How old are yours?
They are 4 and 8.
Okay, I got a 20-month-old, almost 21.
Oh, wow.
They're the best, aren't they? It's the coolest thing ever.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're not. You know, you can leave them with the parents.
Right. You have nothing but fun, and then you go home. All right, so, John, you and I are picking first. Have you selected a game, or we're not?
Oh, you're picking fifth.
Or picking fifth.
Yeah, because you won.
Oh, but I thought the listener always picked first, no?
Okay.
No, you're the commissioner. You decide.
Yeah.
Keep your order.
Yes, we'll I go have fifth. An order.
All right, John, you stand by. Hold on. Who's first?
Mike and Mary, the Vandeveld conscious and subconscious.
Subconscious, and... yes. Oh, we get to go first.
Yeah.
Sub, do you want me to pick?
Okay, where's the clock?
Oh, there you go. We got to go. Okay, I'm going.
You have 10 seconds.
Green Bay over Cincinnati, 31-28.
31-28, yes.
Green Bay over Cincinnati, 31-28.
With the bomb.
Subconscious, what do you think?
I mean, not what I would have gone with, but...
Figures.
I mean, I got a skunk problem to deal with.
Dave Bennett and John DeCuss are second. So.
All right, so let's go to John. John, I'm sorry.
No time.
Sorry, the clock started a little faster, John.
I was going to say, also, I'm under doctor supervision. I get an extra 14 seconds.
Bummer, they couldn't pick. Okay, who's next, Mary?
Oh, we have to restart the clock. I took 5 seconds from him.
Go ahead, John, your pick.
Very good. One of the reasons we're successful is this is total teamwork. New England, 24. Houston, 10.
That's a pretty good pick.
24, that's 10. All right. That's Dave's pick. Dave didn't really take any input from John.
Well, that's nice. That's nice.
Did Dave text that to John?
Hey, John, any chance you'll be on the show tomorrow?
I'm here. I'm there. I can't wait. I'm leaving now. I'm walking.
Well, no, don't worry about it. So John DeCuss, man of program.
Our
tomorrow.
Newsroom, right, Andrea Darlis and Steve Grzanich.
It is Steve's turn to pick, but he is not in the newsroom.
All right, so you're going to have to pick.
All right, I will pick for myself and Steve. Sorry to do it. Steelers over Bears, 27-10.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick.
Nice.
That's a pretty solid pick.
All right, fourth is our celeb, Anne.
Let's go to Mommy.
Oh, God, yeah. Baby.
That's Mommy.
What an embarrassment. Embarrassment.
In a world of major market morning radio, one woman struck fear.
Big baby.
In the hearts of jovial radio talent.
Big baby.
It's Steve's mom.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
You've been warned.
I don't care. It's always funny. It's always funny. It's always funny. Hey, good morning, Mommy.
Good morning. I'm going to wang your doodle.
Yeah.
Have you followed football in the first couple of weeks?
You know, I haven't. It's curiously not very interesting so far this year. A lot of crummy games.
I got to tell you, your Saints are awful.
Yeah, they are. Very disappointed.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. But you love New Orleans. You love the Saints. You were expecting big things, weren't you?
No.
Okay. All right. Who am I to judge? All right. So whenever you're ready, what game are you picking?
I am picking the Giants over the Eagles, 17-14.
17-14. Giants over the Eagles. Giants
in a comeback.
They're
pretty poopy, but I think Manning has got to have a little comeback. He really, really needs a win.
Okay, do we need that kind of language? Do I need to ground you? It's with poopy.
She's taking a page from Steve Grzanich's playbook.
I don't talk like that anymore.
I'm absolutely shocked by this. All right. Anybody want to say anything to Mom?
We love you, Ann.
Oh, I love you too, guys. And tell Mark he can use some of my wonderful sports lingo anytime he wants.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, he's going to need it. All right, hold on, Mom. Hold on. And now it's my turn.
Yes, you and listener John from Ingleside.
All right, John, you got a game you like?
Not particularly. They took all the good ones. I'm looking at the Buccaneers, Vikings, or the Dolphins, Jets, kind of.
Let's go Dolphins,
Jets. Where's their clock?
Their clock.
No, we're just talking. Dolphins, Jets. What do you like? Give me a score, bud.
I like the Dolphins, 24-13.
I like that. That's a good number. I'll all go right. with it. 24-13, Dolphins over the Jets. All right, hold on, John. You're already a big winner just for being on the show.
Yes, and he's getting a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com and an app gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com.
We should probably have Carmen be a celebrity one week, huh?
Borderline.
Okay. We'll come back with the big story in a second on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back at the Allstate Showcase Studio, Steve Cochran at 9:45 in the morning on show number 993. Andrea has breaking news.
Well, we said we'd bring it to you. The Illinois Supreme Court has upheld the murder conviction of Drew Peterson in the death of his third wife, Kathy Savio. The High Court ruled unanimously in their written opinion issued just about a half an hour ago.
Wives are safe once again. He can't marry him or murder them. He's going to stay in jail.
Incidentally, next month is the 10-year anniversary of the disappearance of Stacy Peterson, Drew Peterson's fourth wife.
Missing for 10 years.
Missing for 10 years.
I don't know if you heard, she ran away with the dude.
Allegedly, yeah. So he will stay behind bars. He does not get any more appeals.
I don't know this to be true, but I'm told by those that do that his children are remarkably normal.
Yeah, I'm hearing that as well. His son is a police officer as well.
Who took care of the younger kids,
yes,
right?
Took care of the younger kids, the children that he had with Stacy Peterson.
Bizarre.
Very sad.
Yeah. By the way, we didn't mention this, and it's a terrible transition, and I apologize, but things will get linked together in your head for a reason, and if I don't mention it now, I won't mention it. So pardon the transition. But congratulations to Lisa Kustak, who just got the job doing color for the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
She, of course...
Sarah Kustak.
What did I say? Lisa?
Yeah.
Sarah Kustak,
yeah.
Sorry. We loved. She's fantastic. And her brother as well. And she's doing color for the Nets. And I think it starts now, right? Aren't they in camp now?
It does, yeah. And she, on a side note, she used to work with my husband, Pat, at Comcast Sportsnet. And so people see Pat and I together, and they're like, "Oh, that's so cute! You married Sarah." They like think I'm Sarah.
Oh.
I have blonde hair, and I take it as such a compliment. I always tell her that, like, "Oh, somebody called me Sarah today."
I didn't think about
She's
that.
Great.
Well, similar.
I mean, blonde hair.
Yeah,
you know, I can see
yeah.
where they associate. You know, because they used to anchor together. So.
But you try to keep your husband from fooling around with people at work, don't you?
I do. Yes.
Yeah.
As a rule, but I take it as a compliment because she's so cute.
Yeah.
She's a Orland Park native.
Yeah, she's really good at her work, so it's nice to see it getting rewarded.
And incredibly strong, too, considering all the family stuff she went through.
Yeah.
You know, I just went through, still going through, obviously. All right, Chicago Podcast Festival is coming, and we want you to be a part of it, know about it, and join folks for it. Jennifer Weigel will be part of it. Good morning, Jen. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. Your favorite WGN radio podcast on live at the Podcast Festival, Saturday, October 7th, the Old Town School of Folk Music. There'll be two shows at 7 and 9:30, six podcasts that cover everything from music to entertainment. Those include your show and a bunch of others. You can discover the ones that you may know a little about up close and personal, and you can find out even new stuff. Tickets, $25 for one show or $40 for both. Showtime's at 7, and now I got two times here. One of the lines say 7 and 9. The other says 7 and 9:30. I'm going to assume 7
and
9:30
7
is correct.
9:30, yeah.
Because they're going to need the time.
Don't
to
come at 7 and stay all night.
That's
leave.
That really makes it easier.
It's a double feature.
It's the Old Town School of Folk Music, 4545 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago, WGNradio.com/events. I don't know this show. John Williams and the Mincing Rascals. What is that?
You don't know the Mincing Rascals? They're great. It's John, Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn. And sometimes, actually,
is Rick Pearson sometimes.
Sometimes, and then Rob Martier fills in sometimes too, and Chris McQuarrie as well. It's fun. They talk about politics. It's a really fun podcast.
They get into it. If you were on Facebook more often, Steve, you'd see them walking into the studio because they Facebook Live the Mincing Rascals a lot. So,
All right,
it'll be an interesting. it'll be entertaining.
Now, Jen Weigel's I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I know that show, obviously. And we plug it regularly
here. Talking all sorts of things. Thank you for that, because we have a pet communicator coming to the Wilmette Theater next week, Cindy Myers, by popular demand, Steve, because people are so crazy about their pets. But I don't know that I'm going to bring her to the Podcast Fest because she lives out west in, like, Washington State, and I think that would be complicated. Although, people love their pets. Maybe I should. Maybe I should take a poll.
They do. My sister has had a pet communicator for her dog. And Biscuit, one of the things that the pet communicator said, that Biscuit was mad that she stopped giving him Parmesan cheese.
But this, wait, Jen. Does your pet communicator talk to the live pets or dead pets?
Yes.
Both.
Both, right.
Yeah. There's pet mediums.
Oh, yeah. She does both, baby. And this is the cool thing, is that Cindy used to be an engineer. You know, she worked in the military, and she was walking along the beach, and she saw a seal that had come up and was still alive but had lost its bomb. And the next thing you know, she's communicating with the seal, and she's kind of like, well, this is weird. So it's not
Yes, it is.
Yes. Wanted to be a pet communicator, and she kind of fell into it. I find these people, Steve, that's what I do. I find these people that sort of fell into their careers. So I think what I'm going to have at the podcast, and I've got a couple of people lined up, is one woman who magically at the age of 45 became a medium, and it was not expected. She was in the carpool at Glenbrook South, And all of a sudden she's hearing things and she's like, I got to call the doctor.
I hear things in the carpool line myself.
Yeah, but that's because you have the window down.
And we don't want to repeat those things. But then, you know, and then we'll also have a woman who's a CEO consultant who can also, you know, she works in big companies and with big CEOs, but she's a Catholic woman from Chicago who's also been able to supposedly see dead people since she was six. So there's a lot of combo platters on my I'm Spiritual Damn It podcast. We have a great time because everybody's got a little something.
Man, I don't want to put pressure on you. I don't want to put pressure on you, but you're closing the show.
I know, I'm the closer. So yeah. I have to have some fun guests.
Yeah, you better.
So, right?
Amy Guth and Rex Upke of Politics. Sound Sessions is what?
Michael Heidemann and Kevin Richter. Oh.
It's Michael Heidemann. It's Sound Sessions with Michael Heidemann now.
Oh, now it's just Michael Heidemann. Yeah. Sorry, his partner is moving to California.
Yeah, Kevin Richter.
Yeah, so they do bands, music.
Okay.
All the cool stuff.
And again, I'm Spiritual Damn It will be the third of the second show. First show at 7, second show at 9:30. And again, tickets, WGNradio.com/events. And if you want to go to the Wilmot Theater next week, what do you do?
JenWeigel.com/gigs.
Okay.
And I would encourage people, sometimes the word podcast, it, like, confuses. It's going to see a live show. That's what you're going to see.
Right.
So the fact that it's a podcast, those are, you know, you may listen to the podcast and this is what it looks like when it happens live, but that's just like seeing any type of live performance and it's entertaining.
Right, right. And there'll be some other people there to entertain you as well. Clowns, jugglers, explosions.
Yeah, you don't need to wear headphones, so that's right. A fun bonus.
Steve, are you going to play the harmonica again?
Yes.
Please.
Okay. Well, if that's what you call it.
Do you have one of those little harmonica holders?
Yes, I do.
It goes around your neck?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can play your axe and...
Yeah, I used it for my retainer for a long time, and then I just converted it to a harmonica holder. All right, Jen Weigel, all things Jen Weigel. Follow her on social media, see her at the Podcast Fest, and don't forget to see her at the Wilmot Theater next week. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Steve. Bye,
okay,
guys.
Okay,
see you, Jen.
How's that? Was that a good segment?
Did
you feel like I nailed it?
Let's talk at the pet medium and see what they think you did by there.
Yeah, the Schnauzer votes no.
I was going to ask what your sister thought of a pet medium, but I don't even want to fill her mind with such horrible thought of...
Biscuit. Oh, if when Biscuit dies.
God forbid.
I told you, you know, this is the type of conversations we have off the air. I told Sandberg the other day that I have an old friend who is making a mint in San Diego as a dog chiropractor. And she goes, oh yeah. Yeah, they're huge here.
Biscuit sees a dog physical therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Does treadmill walking underwater.
I didn't even, I thought it was like a California thing.
Yeah, no, it's an everywhere.
And some are specialized too. My friend Carmaine, you know Carmaine, the drone girl. Mm-hmm. She has two German Shepherds and they do water therapy as well because they have bad hips. Yeah. Because she has German Shepherds. So it's a specialized.
I think they're breeding these dogs to have bad hips, so you have to keep the physical therapists in business.
I think have to is an interesting choice of words.